Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and even the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. And especially if you're a Trump supporter and you found the show, I need you to stick around today, because we're going to get into some stuff. We get personal here about the news and the culture. It's a special mix of politics, culture, and personal development. We put it all up in a blender, mix it all up, and it spits out a special delivery of underdog stuff. We get into the uns here, the underrated, the unjust, and there's a lot of unjust stuff going on that we're going to talk about. The unavoidable, the unconventional, the unsaid, the uninhibited. You get it by now, a bunch of underdog stuff. And just as a disclaimer, if this is your first time listening to this show, which I hope it isn't, but if it is, let me just let you know right off the bat here. This ain't CNN. This ain't MSNBC. This ain't Fox News. It's not Hot 97. It ain't New York Times. It's not the Wall Street Journal. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But they cover the news. They even commentate about it. But here at the Gregory Neesmith Show, we do that, plus we get personal about it. And part of that getting personal about it is that you and I do this show together. And so if you want to join the conversation, Mr. Telephone Man, there's nothing wrong with this line. If you dial 212-650-6903, I'm going to pick up every time. And for those who like to let their fingers do the talking, it's 2018. There's a lot of technology going on. Instagram and Twitter, Facebook and all that stuff. You can go to Facebook. Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith and join the Facebook Live. And I will read your comments on the air. Just like I'm going to say, shout out to Keon Johnson. Peace to you too, King. And he also writes a message, is always appreciated. And I appreciate you and all the underdogs who go on this journey. Because this show is not just about what's going on in the news and the culture. It's about us having a voice about it too. And so with that, today, there's a couple things on my mind. For those watching the Facebook Live, you can probably see in your picture at least one of the things on my mind if you're looking at my t-shirt. And we're going to get into that during today's show. But a couple things on my mind today. The theme, episode 66. You know, this ain't just a radio show. It's also a podcast. It's an article series. It's a movement. But today's theme is throwbacks. And makes me want to holler. Makes me want to holler. And throwbacks. Both of those have been on my mind. And hopefully in the next 2 hours, it'll all make sense why that is. Let's start things off with throwbacks. Because once I get into make me want to holler, I may not stop. You know, TV is a very interesting thing. I used to watch a lot of it growing up. And I remember oftentimes being told it's bad for me. But there's also some things that are good about it. With that, though, I'm curious. What was your favorite TV sitcom growing up? Your throwback. And then what's your favorite TV sitcom now? And believe me, there's a point to why I'm asking that question. I'm going to get to it. Favorite TV sitcom past. Favorite TV sitcom present. I'll share mine in a second. But speaking of throwbacks, back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit back and wish I was a kid again. I used to play a lot of basketball growing up. For those who may not know, it's my favorite sport. I grew up in Philadelphia, played in the Philadelphia Public League. In my 11th grade year, I was one of only two 11th graders to make the Parkway basketball team. That year, we would end up being ranked in the Delaware Valley, in Delaware, New York, Delaware, New Jersey, and Philly, Pennsylvania, one of the top-ranked high school basketball teams. And I remember a lesson from my coach back then. And his lesson was pretty simple. It was three things, especially given that we were a big-time basketball team that year, being celebrated by so many people and feeling like rock stars. But he had three things he would tell us. He'd say, don't believe the hype. You know, you're never as good as people say you are, never as bad as people say you are. He would say, don't underestimate your opponent. And play until the end of the game. Play until the end. Don't believe the hype. Don't underestimate your opponent and play till the end. Why do I bring this up? Because one of the unavoidable news stories I want to talk about before we get into some things that make me want to holler, like Alton Sterling and Stephon Clark. I saw an article this week that said most Americans think Trump will lose in 2020. Most Americans think that Donald Trump will lose in 2020. You agree with that? That makes sense to you? You sure? A recent CNN poll said that 54% of Americans say that Trump will lose in 2020. And only 40% of Americans think Trump will win in 2020. And as you can imagine, most Republicans think he'll win. Most Democrats think he'll lose. And I remember my coach saying to me, don't believe the hype. Don't underestimate your opponent. And play till the end. If you happen to be anti-Trump, I'm anti-Trump. You know, full disclosure. I'm not a journalist. I'm an opinion journalist. I'm an underdog with an opinion. I lean to the left. Do you think Donald Trump is going to get a second term? 54% of Americans say it's not going to happen. But guess what? You know, I like to provide some perspective here. And like my coach said, don't believe the hype. Don't underestimate your opponent. Play to the end. Guess what this same poll said about Obama during his first term about whether or not he would get a second term? So 54% of Americans think Trump won't win in 2020. Well, guess what? Not too long ago, 54% of Americans thought Obama wouldn't win a second term either. And in this current poll, 40% of Americans think Trump will win a second term. That sounds kind of low, right? Only 40%? Oh, we got this. It's in the bag. Trump's gone. One term. He's out. Well, this same time during Obama's first term, only 44% of Americans thought he would win a second one. Remember how that turned out? President Obama got two terms. And this guy might get two terms too.
Our new slogan, when we start running in, can you believe it, 2 years from now? Is going to be Keep America Great! Exclamation point. Keep America Great.
Why did I ask you what's your favorite sitcom, past and present? Well, it's because this week a show reappeared on the air called Roseanne. Yeah. For those who are probably in their 30s or older, you remember that there once was a show called Roseanne about a white working class family in middle America. Didn't quite look or act like all the other folks you would see on TV. I remember watching the show. I remember being young and actually, you know, I liked it. Wouldn't be my favorite sitcom growing up, but, you know, I tuned in. Well, it's back. And I bring it up because, like my coach said, don't believe the hype. Coach said, don't underestimate your opponent. My coach said, play till the end. For all those who think that Trump is out of here after one term, that may not be the case. And as much as a lot of you may despise some of the Trump supporters, feel like you just despise Trump, be careful of the power of TV. There's a saying that those who tell the story look the best. And it seems now there's a show back on TV that attempts to normalize and make those who believe in Trump seem to be lovable. We can laugh at them. We can tune in and watch them on TV. All they really care about is a better economy. But culturally and morally, they're liberal. I don't know if that. Actually, I take that back. Forget about it. I don't know. That definitely doesn't represent the Trump that I've been watching, studying and listening and seeing over the past 2 years. But this TV show is attempting to do something a little different. So be watchful. Or actually, don't watch. But definitely register to vote. Definitely keep the momentum going. Definitely resist. Because there's a war going on outside to make America great again. Or as Trump just said, to keep America great. And I'm not trying to go there. And I'm not for the normalizing of it, the sitcoming of it. But I just wanted you underdogs to be aware that he has a shot. And so we get to stay vigilant so that he is, unlike Obama, one and done.
Roseanne Conner is a Trump supporter on the show.
Well, she did vote for the president.
She voted for the president.
Yep, she did.
And she, and that is part of, I don't want to give anything away, but that's part of the dynamic with you and your family on that show. Now,
and in real life.
And
it's
in real
like
life.
Everybody's family is pissed off at each other for one thing or the other.
Is your family mad at you?
Well, you know, we had some pro-Hillarys and some pro-Trump,
right.
And there was a lot of fight.
And you like Trump?
All right. I just wanted to make sure I got that out the way. Some unavoidable news of the week. Donald Trump supposedly polling like he will not get a second term. However, we got TV shows romanticizing Trump supporters. Trump is tracking or polling at the same level around that Obama did, where it looked like Obama wasn't going to get a second term and he did. So I just wanted to put that out there. Don't watch Roseanne. And like my coach said when I was coming up in the public league in Philly playing ball, don't believe the hype. Don't underestimate your opponent and play till the end. And that means playing through these midterms elections, and it means playing till the end in November 2020 and getting out and voting. And as Keon says on the Facebook Live, Black Lives Matter. They do. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like they matter to everybody. And today's theme is throwbacks and makes me wanna holler. We get personal about the news and the culture here. I I remember being a little kid growing up in Philly. And shout out to my parents, Henry and Hallie Neesmith. And I'll never forget when I was, got to be like 10, 11, something like that, getting in trouble for something. And I'll never forget my mom said to me, if you can just make it to 21, my dad and I think you'll be okay. And I remember being a little kid going, thinking to myself, what? If I could just make it to 21, what did that mean? And why does she have so much anxiety and fear and look on her face as she said it to me? And I didn't really know why, right? I'm 10, 11. I'm like, what's this big deal about me making it to 21 these next 10, 11 years? And now that I'm older, I know that it was because my mom felt like that whenever I would step outside, that there was a chance that something could happen to me. And maybe sometimes, because maybe I would do something silly, or stupid, foolish. But also now I know that she was worried that maybe even if I didn't do anything stupid or foolish or out of bounds, that something could still happen to me. And so oftentimes referred to as the talk. And, you know, when you're 10 or 11, I didn't know that it was called the talk. But my parents had several talks with me. You know, say no to drugs. Keep your hands to yourself. And be respectful as possible whenever you're encountered by the police. And so then I still thought to myself, why did my mom have so much anxiety and fear around me making it to 21? If I could just make it to 21, everything would be okay. I'm a pretty calm and laid back dude. I don't want any problems. So I'm thinking, why is my mom so stressed? I'm like, yeah, mom, I'll be respectful. Yeah, mom, I'll not mess with drugs, you know. So why are the anxiety and fear? Well, it's because no matter how respectful or thoughtful I may be as a black man, that danger could still come my way. But that's only half the story. Because what frustrates me the most, or one of the things that frustrates me, is that I don't feel like, this topic just gets me, I so being respectful isn't enough. And so I think that's why I know my mom was anxious and scared for me, is that she knew that even if you follow all the rules, things may not work out. And we saw again this week where being black gets you unfairly treated by the police. And I'm talking about, actually, the scary thing is, right, you don't even know what case I'm talking about. Am I talking about the Alton Sterling verdict? Or am I talking about Stephon Clark? Or am I talking about the many other cases that have happened? But I'll start with the Stephon Clark. There's a James Baldwin quote that. I posted the other day that I just wish would be outdated and go away. But it seems that even decades later, these words are still true. And James says, to be a Negro in this country and be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time. And I'm talking about the Stephon Clark case where police shot and killed him. He was unarmed, shot in his grandma's backyard. It's reported that officers were responding to a 911 call that reported someone was breaking car windows. There were two officers that reportedly fired a total of 20 shots at Clark. The Sacramento County Sheriff's Department helicopter responded during the event. They said that they saw a man armed with a toolbar in a backyard and directed police over to him. The police thought that the object that he had in his hand was a gun. Turned out it was a cell phone. And they shot him. Now, I know some people will say he brought it on himself. Some people might say he was out there reportedly committing some type of crime. He provoked or caused the situation. I'm not having it. I'm tired of this skin making me have to be perfect or a superhero for things to be okay. Dylan Roof shot 9 people in a church. And I think they took him to McDonald's and then took him to the police department. I'm tired of having to be perfect. And even being perfect doesn't guarantee me anything. I'm tired of having to be a graduate of Harvard University, a man with no scandals in his background, married to a wonderful woman with 2.5 kids, and barely people think he should have been President Barack Obama. But yet it's okay for the dude we got in there now. I'm tired of having to be perfect to even have a shot to be treated fairly. And even when you do the right thing, you still might not get treated fairly. He can't be the first person that those cops have ever encountered after the reports of some type of crime happening. But yet, an independent autopsy shown that he was shot 8 times and mostly in the back, 3 times in the lower back, twice near his right shoulder, once in his neck. I didn't understand it when I was 10 or 11. My mom said, if you could just make it to 21, if you could just get through these years where something could happen to you. And yeah, I made it to 21 and passed that, but Stephon Clark didn't make it past 22. And this is one of his family members.
I want to ask you, if I can, Ms. Thompson, just broadly here, what do you say to those protesters, the young men and women in the streets of Sacramento and frankly in other parts of this country right now, protesting after the loss of your grandson? What do you say to those young people out there?
I want to thank you because we're going to get justice. I want you and everyone, every mother that's going through what we're going through. I'm a grandmother, every grandmother that's going through this. And my daughter, she is so... This is unreal. It's just unbelievable. I mean, he was shot down like a dog. I mean, they didn't have no message. I mean, just stop. I mean, one time or two times, but 20 times. I mean, it was terrible. It was terrible. And right now, I'm having dreams about my grandson. It's all kind of things. And my granddaughter, she's scared. She's shaken. His sister is only 7 years old. That baby is, we got to go get help after all of this.
That was Stephon Clark's grandmother. And you would think, right? This seems to continue to happen all over the country. Feels like it should be not just a Sacktown issue. but a national one, right?
There were no charges against the police officers in the Alton Sterling police shooting. What does the president have to say about that, particularly as he is a strong supporter of police? And then you have the issue, we're in the midst of that issue that happened, that fatal shooting of the young man in California behind his grandmother's house with a cell phone.
Certainly a terrible incident. This is something that is a local matter, and that's something that we feel should be left up to the local authorities at this point in time.
How do you feel about that? He was strongly behind police. He supports police, as much of America does, but wants to weed out bad policing. What does he say about weeding out bad policing when you continue to see these kinds of situations occur over and over again?
Certainly we want to make sure that all law enforcement is carrying out the letter of the law. The president's very supportive of law enforcement. But at the same time, in these specific cases, in these specific instances, those would be left up to local authorities to make that determination and not something for the federal government to weigh into.
Oh, we don't want to weigh in now, right? So last week, and you know, one of my mantras, an unwritten rule of underdog stuff is don't be dismissive of anyone's pain and don't compare your pain to someone else's, because this ain't a competition. But we just marched for our lives last week. Last time I checked, Parkland, Florida is in Florida. That seemed like a local issue too, right? But it's a national one now. And we got everybody out here pushing for school safety and gun rights. Marches around the country. Seemed like a local thing that turned national to me. So I'm not here to compare one's pain to the other. And I'm not a believer in either or. So this isn't a comment about either or. We can care about Parkland, but don't tell me that we can't also care about what happened to Stephon Clark, to Alton Sterling, to Philando Castilla, and the names go on, and Mike Brown, and on and on and on. And don't tell me those are local issues. So when's the march for Black Lives Matter in Washington? I'll wait.
Stephon Clark! Stephon Clark! Stephon Clark! Stephon Clark! Stephon Clark! Stephon Clark! Stephon Clark!
You know, I try to be as clear and transparent with you guys as always. This is an emotional topic for me. I guess it's one of the challenges of when we get personal about the news and the culture, that it's personal. And I'm going to take a break. I think we have a call on the line, so let's go to the phone lines, and then we'll go to a break. And one of the things that often comes up in my business consulting and leadership coaching experience is that while it's in the end, you know, I do want to find solutions, I want to move forward, I want to take action, but there's also times when sometimes what's needed is the opportunity to vent, to just let the emotions run over you, run through you. And we'll talk about some stuff we can do, but if you just want to get something off your chest, if you just want to have a moment to just be tired and frustrated, you can take that moment right now with me and with the other underdogs out there. Go to the phone lines. Do we have a caller in line? Name and where you're calling from.
Greg, this is Barry calling from Yonkers.
Hey, Barry. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm holding on. Also, sensing some of the passion that's coming from your tone. Right on, brother. Empathizing with you a little bit as far as the parents. It reminds me of Michael Jackson when his parents, he claimed that his parents was very strict on him. And it just so happened that in Indiana was a territory where the Ku Klux Klan really kind of like really started out. And so now we understand why they might have been strict on him.
Yeah.
My mom's was kind of strict on me in certain ways. But I see it, and I seen it then. But of course, in my youth, it's like, ooh, in front of my friends, in front of my girlfriend,
yep.
You know, yeah. That's a child.
Yeah, why they being like that?
You know, how can you do that? You know, but see the experience of the parents is coming from another range, man, and their hearts are in their mouth. Every day the child goes to school, goes to the store, goes to the mailbox, goes to play, and it shouldn't be that way, you know. So I empathize with you. You touched on some of your own experience. It's funny how Oprah Winfrey gave some thousands of dollars to the march of the... What's the name of the march again?
March of Our Lives. March for Our Lives.
Right on. And that was cool. And nothing wrong with that. But I heard she gave nothing to the Black Lives Matters. Like Martin Luther King prophesized that 40 years from when he was around, that there would be a black president. And just like it was, and 2008 was a black president.
You know what? We're here. This is our country, too.
Right on.
And we get to fight for it. And again, with you being on the same page, or as you say, sometimes it's a universe. After this call, I'm about to play an MLK clip, actually. And you just brought him up because 50 years later, equality and jobs and the economy and war are still in need of change. Barry, as always, man, I appreciate you.
It was yesterday.
Yes, and I think you'll appreciate this clip from MLK, especially since you just brought him up.
Great, my brother.
All right, now, I'll talk to you. Appreciate you.
Keep up the good work.
All right, now.
On the rebound.
Bye now.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly, somewhere I read of the freedom of speech, somewhere I read of the freedom of press, somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right.
And that's MLK. And until the words on some of those papers, like all men and women are created equal, or the pursuit of happiness, until those words on paper are true in real life, we get to keep on fighting. Earlier in the show, I asked the question, what was your favorite TV sitcom growing up? And then what's your current favorite TV sitcom now? Why did I bring that up? Because Roseanne Barr is back out here romanticizing Trump supporters in her show, where she is both in real life and in the show a white working class family that is a Trump supporter. One of my most interesting, or I should say a quote that always caught my attention, and it's unknown, I forget who the actual author of it is, but it says, those who tell their story, those who tell the story look the best. And so for all those people who think it's no way Donald Trump's getting a second term, people thought the same thing about Bill Clinton. People thought the same thing about Bush. People thought the same thing about Obama. And guess what? They all got second terms. Like my basketball coach used to tell me growing up, don't believe the hype. Don't underestimate your opponent. Play till the end. And so I need underdogs out there for you to be playing till the end, which means play in these midterm elections. Play in the presidential election in 2020. Stay on the court. Also, shout out to folks checking in online. Joey says, good morning, brother. Happy Easter to you. Love you, man. Hey, love you too, and happy Easter to you. Happy Easter to all the folks out there celebrating Easter. It's Easter Sunday. When I walked out my apartment this morning, and I won't say the exact address of where I live, but when I walked out my apartment, I live near some churches in Harlem, and yo, the line, I've never seen, like, the line stretched almost the entire block and then around a block. So some folks about to go get their praise on. Shout out to folks who left church and now you listening on your ride home on 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, or you've already back home and you listening. Appreciate you. Also, we've been talking about the theme of Makes Me Want to Holler, and now, and unfortunately, over and over and over again, whether it's Philando Castile, whether it's Mike Brown, whether it's Mr. Gardner, who passed away but was murdered, whether it's Alton Sterling, whose verdict came out this week that the cops were not found guilty, or the latest national case, although the White House believes this is a local matter, or somehow the Parkland shooting was a national matter, but somehow Stephon Clark is a local one. I'm not comparing. Remember, I don't believe in either or. I believe in both. So we can go fight for school safety, check, and then we can go fight for getting rid of police brutality. We can go fight for equality in the justice system. We can do both. I'm not here to discount kids being scared and wanting to change about when they go to school. But I'm here to say I don't want to have one and not have the other. I want to have both. With that, let me go to the phone lines. Name and where you calling from.
James from Harlem, and I'm glad you made that statement.
And which,
not one without the other.
Oh, yeah. Talk to me. What's on your mind today?
Let's go back, and this is not a diatribe, but we'll do it very quickly. We'll start with television and its participation in this society. But before we can do that, we would have to go back to radio and its inception. Everything was radio, and then radio grew into television. And television grew into media, and media grew into the balance. So with television, you had all of the lily white TV shows. Now you can tie in Roseanne Barr. For those that are not old enough, it was shows like Make Room for Father, or Make Room for Daddy, and Make Room for Father, and the Ozzie and Harriet show, and Amos and Andy for the blacks. So we're not going to do color, but we'll say we'll progress, and then we come up to the point that you have the entry of the comic book becoming the reality. Video games. For the other groups, they had maybe a Nintendo or something, that their games were an Erectus set or How to Become a Millionaire. Black games were How to Kill Up a Million Police at One Time. Why? Because hip-hop had not come along yet. Now you tie in how this progression ties in with now the make-believe world of hip-hop. And within the make-believe world of hip-hop, they say things that are not necessarily true and project imagery that is not necessarily true, that projects them as being violent. So now Donald Trump comes along with, you're fired. I'm trying to fast forward.
Yes,
and
yes,
he has popularity. Yeah. Why? Because from the comic book, from radio to the comic book to TV to video games, and now we're up to the computer generation. Them are in front of their computers or telephone, and what are they doing? They are controlled. That's my diatribe.
Hey, well,
it's a controlled society. And let's all get together and get this voter registration done.
James, as always, I appreciate you calling in, and I will unpack several things of what you just said.
Don't try. Don't try. We'll let the commentary go on.
Hey.
And thank you for your show.
All right, now. Appreciate you. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Peace and blessings.
Bye now. And that was James from Harlem. And a lot to unpack there. I won't go point by point, but there's a couple things that caught my attention. James, the make-believe world of hip-hop. Don't be getting on my hip-hop and lumping it all into one bucket. I get it. There's good and bad about all forms of entertainment. So hip hop shouldn't be on the do not comment list. Hip hop shouldn't be on the they can do no wrong list. But I don't like when we get singled out. There's good rock and roll, and there's some over the top rock and roll. There's some hip hop that might be uplifting, and there's some that might be just about partying and BSing. But the roots of hip hop, to me, are not make believe. They were oftentimes a way for folks in cities, the urban areas, and especially in the Northeast, to talk about what was going on in their world. And also just another example of how black folks have brought some spirit and some soul to this thing called music. And we've done it many a times, and hip hop is just another place where we have. Also, you bring up voting. I'm a big fan of voting. Like I said today, I'm in my feelings because today things like the Alton Sterling verdict, which came out, the Stephon Clark thing that happened, those things are near and dear to me. I've been pulled over by cops several times in my life. 10 plus times to be exact, and only got a parking ticket once. So, you know, tell me what that must have been all about. And so I believe in voting and taking action, but I also believe that as humans, as people, we get to have moments too where we vent, because this journey can be long. It can be frustrating. It can be tiring. So this is a space for folks to both vent, also cover what's going on in the news. We get to commentate about it. We get to get personal about it. And you had your opportunity to do that too, and I appreciate you. And I appreciate Barry calling up and sharing his words of wisdom. Let me go to the phone lines real quick, and then we will go where the energy flows. Name it, where you calling from?
Hi, it's Deborah from Manhattan.
Hey, Deborah.
Regarding the hip-hop, I remember people used to always jump on people about hip-hop and how they spoke about women, and I'm one of them because I didn't like it, and I still don't like some of the music that comes out. But I also have heard interviews where certain corporations, if you didn't write it that way, then you didn't get paid.
Mm.
So while James has so much to say, he needs to do a little, you know, history and do a little bit of, you know, homework on corporate America, because it's corporate America that took it and messed it up. And then, you know.
Yes, because for a lot
of
us,
it's like the drug dealer who flies. It's like the drugs that are flown in, but you don't want to talk about the airplane coming in. You want to talk about the people who are on the street corner.
Yeah. We conveniently, and this is my issue is that. So there's a couple things that you just said that I just thought through, which are, I just wish, you know, I don't like either or. I wish we could have both. Like, it's okay to say that there's bad things about hip hop, but you know what frustrates me? When we don't say there's any bad things about any other forms of music.
Of course not.
So that's what frustrates. Or it's like, we get on, I'll use a sports example because I know you're a big sports fan too. We get on LeVar Ball. We get on the Williams parents or the tennis players, but yet Bill Walton is this eccentric, cool, psychedelic dude. But we have to be superheroes. Donald Trump is giving hush money to people he had affairs with, and Obama barely gets elected, and he had to be like a perfect person.
Right.
And so I'm not here to say that we don't get to criticize and critique ourselves and other people and underdogs, but I'm just saying I just wish that same level of objectivity and critiquing would happen for other people besides just us.
But it's not. It's not. And it's not your job to always try to be fair, okay? Because if they're not going to be fair, that's on them. That's on them. It's not on you.
You're right.
It's not on you. I can't tell you about the person because they're dead and they're not able to speak for themselves. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But I remember she had a lot of respect for young people in terms of money and, you know, and stuff like that. And she said, you know, she said, they may not do it the right way, but damn it, they want to get paid.
Yeah, and
if we years ago were able to really come out and go the way they would sometimes, maybe we would have more today. So I'm inclined not to always, you know, I don't know what James, I don't, you know, he might be a stand-up person, but I'm a little, you know, I'm always hesitant, you know, like, yeah. I can listen to Elvis, but I mean, come on, let's face it. Elvis lived around black people.
Yeah.
Elvis lived in the, and he used to go to people's homes and eat because he was poor. And he hung with black children, even as a child. And he would go to the juke joints and stand around and listen. So he understood the value of black music. But people don't want to do that because they want to sell them white and take what it was that we have and, you know, and run it.
Yep.
But they don't want to talk about that.
No. But I'm glad that you brought it up. And then also that's why I wanted to make the point, too. This ain't the slamming hip hop hour right now.
Exactly.
The other people can do that. Actually, you also remind me, too, when you say your antenna goes up. I'll never forget when Obama was president. And of course, Obama's human, right? He's not perfect. But I remember Tavis Smiley and Cornel West turned it into, they made a living off of, like, all they did was critique Obama. I'm like, what? Like, I just, to your point, I'm just like, what happened to, like, of all the things they could be doing in the world, they went on, like, a 2-year tour of critiquing Obama.
I mean, when you think about it, supposedly these people they know a lot. They know a lot of what's going on in the community, right?
Yep.
Why not draw up a really cogent business plan? Call up the president, ask him if, you know, I'd like to sit down and talk with you about it. Not kick it around, but sit down and talk to you like any other person that would come to the White House. But they never did that.
And I'm sure if they wanted to, we both know that if they wanted to get a sit down with Obama, they could easily have done it.
Exactly.
But to your point,
but they didn't get invited, so, you know, to the inauguration. So, you know, it's what it's come down to. That's what it's come down to. You know, it's not important that people are dead. And when black people die, I know you didn't mean it that way, but when you said they passed away, no, they were murdered.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know I agree with you, yes.
I know that, you know, but they were murdered. And when I saw that blueprint that they did on a certain station, and I'm seeing, you know, the body still move. This is after the body is dead because, you know, they're getting off on overkill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got, you know, that's why I said, I feel bad for the, you know, the people in Florida and the high school, but their death is no more important than ours.
Yeah, and that's why
that's not being mean.
No.
Because if they're really honest with themselves and they really want something to go forth that's going to, you know, make the world, as they like to say, a better place, they'll be honest about that.
Yeah, and like I said,
so we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. Because, see, I like to lay in the cut and wait. Because I don't jump all over Me Too either, because I haven't seen that sister's face in a long time.
Well, and I didn't talk about this today, but it's on my notes. If I can find it before you get off, I just want to share it to your point about this Me Too stuff, is that I don't know. Most people didn't even hear about this story, but this week, 22 female senators, so both Republican and Democrat, out of the 100 senators, attempted to pass a bill to restructure the way sexual harassment is handled in Congress, because right now it's handled in a way that the man gets protected. Us taxpayers' money pays for all the settlements. They couldn't even get a vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, it's all about Me Too, and things are changing. But look who's in the White House as the president. And then,
when they don't like you, then your career is ruined.
It's ruined. But,
and you don't even get a case.
No, but there's people who are sitting in Congress right now that their sexual harassment cases were paid for by us, kept secret, and still have a job. But yet, to your point, Me Too is, hey, it's working. It's out here.
I mean, this sister was working on this a long time, way before this case even came up with this guy from Hollywood.
Damn. But yet they went.
And all she became was a hashtag.
But now,
see
but
what I'm saying?
I know, but they wanted Conyers out of there quick, fast, and hurry. And guess what? If he did something wrong, I get that he should go. But the problem was, it was like he had to go, but nobody else has to go.
Exactly.
All right. Like I said, some days we get to vent, and this is one of those days where I this might be all I got today, Deborah, is just venting.
It was more than enough. Thank you very much, and I'm so glad that you came in on Easter.
Hey, yep, I'm grateful to be here, right? So that I give thanks for. And shout out to everybody enjoying the Easter today, and happy Easter to you, Deborah.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, now. That was Deborah from Manhattan. Always appreciate hearing her voice, her energy, and her wisdom. I believe there was actually a comment on the Facebook Live. Miss McQueen saying they may not be found guilty, but their butts were fired. And I believe that she is referring to the Alton Sterling case. And actually, before I go to break, let me just play some sound related to the Alton Sterling situation, and then just give you a latest update, just in case while you've been running around all week, you didn't hear all the latest on that. Here's some audio related to the Alton Sterling case.
You knew Alton Sterling?
I know the whole family. He just slept in the bed with my two daughters. I raised him as a son. He was a good guy. He didn't deserve to die, ma'am. If you knew him, you'll fall in love. That's got to be him. He's a happy person. All he liked was happiness.
Of a man who's simply trying to earn a living to take care of his children. With that being said, the individuals involved in his murder took away a man with children who depended upon.
If you haven't heard, officials in Louisiana have decided not to charge the officers in the murder of Alton Sterling. Last year, the Justice Department also decided not to charge officials due to insufficient evidence. In 2016, officers responded to a call at a convenience store about a man threatening someone with a gun, allegedly. The officers tackled and shot the man, Alton Sterling. He did have a loaded gun, but it was unclear if he was actually reaching for the gun or not when he was shot and murdered. And for those who saw the video, it doesn't look like he was reaching for a gun to me. It's expected that the police department will fire both the officers by arguing that even though the shooting wasn't criminal, it was still in violation of the department's policies. I believe as we are doing this show live here right now that they were fired. And it's my understanding that the family still plans to pursue a case as a civil lawsuit. And hopefully some justice can come through that route. With that, we're going to take a break. And then we come back more of the Gregory Nisman Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Welcome back to the Gregory Nisman Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Today, it's been very personal because there's a lot of stuff going on in the news and the culture. Today's theme, throwbacks, and makes me want to holler. Throwbacks and makes me want to holler. We kicked off the show talking about what's your favorite TV sitcom growing up. What's your favorite TV sitcom now? I haven't shared what mine was. My favorite TV sitcom growing up was The Cosbys. And honorable mention goes to shows like Different World, goes to Good Times, goes to Boy Meets World. Those were a couple other sitcoms that caught my attention in my youth, but definitely I remember Thursday nights, 8 o'clock must-see TV was watching The Cosbys. Today, I would say my favorite TV sitcom, I don't watch a lot of TV. You know, I've told you underdogs out there, I got rid of my cable in the spirit of consume less and create more. I wanted to make sure I had some more time to be creating. So I don't watch a lot of TV, but I've seen some episodes here and there of a sitcom called Blackish, which I believe is on ABC. So if I had to pick something current day, I'd probably say my favorite TV sitcom presently is Blackish. Even though I don't watch a lot of sitcoms, that'd probably be the one that gets my vote. And The Cosby's from my younger days. What's your favorite sitcom, past and present, talking about throwbacks? And I brought it up because a sitcom this week got a lot of attention, Roseanne. She's out here in real life and on TV romanticizing being a Trump supporter. And the show got some big ratings. A lot of people watched it. It caught Mr. 45's attention.
I got a call from Mark Burnett. He did The Apprentice. He's a great guy. He said, Donald, I called just to say hello and to tell you, did you see Roseanne's ratings? I said, Mark, how big were they? They were unbelievable. Over 18 million people. And it was about us. They haven't figured it out. The fake news hasn't quite figured it out yet. They have not figured it out. So that was great. And they haven't figured it out. But they will. And when they do, they'll become much less fake. May take a while, but it's happening.
You can dismiss Donald Trump if you want. And you can assume that he's just going to get one term and be done, one and done. But when you got Hollywood romanticizing and normalizing him and his supporters, when you got the fact that an unpopular George Bush, a challenged Obama, an impeached Bill Clinton, all got second terms, it's a 50-50 chance we might have seven more years of Donald Trump instead of three. Keep an eye on it. My basketball coach used to tell me growing up, don't believe the hype. Don't underestimate your opponent and play till the end. So please get ready to go out and vote in these midterm elections and then also be ready to vote in 2020. Also, Deborah mentioned this, and I want to get around to this too. You know, we've been talking about makes me want to holler, and I talked about like my mom gave me the talk. And one of the talks included how I should conduct myself if I should ever have a run-in with the police. And unfortunately, I've had many of running with the police, being pulled over for no reason, as they say, DWB, driving while black, being run up on the sidewalk by cops because there was a report of something happening in the area and I fit the quote unquote description. I remember being a teenager driving around in one of the suburbs outside of Philly with one of my friends and we got pulled over. It was late at night. They asked for my ID, who I was driving. They asked for my friend's ID, who was in the passenger. Then they asked us to get out. Supposedly our brake light was broken. And then we had to open the trunk. And then all of a sudden, they didn't find anything in the trunk. My ID, license checked out clear. Then all of a sudden, next thing you know, the brake light's working again. And then they just say to me, you should maybe go get that checked out. And that's just a quick story of a run-in with the cops for only one reason, and it was because I was DWB. But that's not the only talk that my parents had with me, right? They had the do not do drugs talk. They had the don't get a woman pregnant talk. They also had the keep your hands to yourself talk, right? Don't be touching or approaching or assaulting women, making advances on them that are unwanted in life or in the workplace. Don't do it, right? Keep your hands to yourself. Well, it seems not everybody had that talk because there's some adults out here running around who aren't keeping their hands to themselves. And they happen to be the people that work for us, which is even worse. Because we actually hire them and fire them, and they're called our elected officials. And this happened this week.
Or is this a moment when there's real change? And I'll tell you how I think we're going to know whether or not it's a moment when there's real change. It's going to be when there's accountability for famous people. But it's more going to be when the shift manager decides that maybe giving the good shifts only to women who will play sex games back in the dressing room is not a good idea. And when the jerk over in accounting decides that pressing up against women who are caught at the photocopying machine might not be smart. And when the boss decides that telling those dirty jokes and talking about who's got great boobs and a killer ass is better rethink his management strategy. When that sort of thing happens for women all across this country, then we'll know there's been real change.
When will we know? When will we know there's been real change? Okay, go get Bill Cosby. Go get, what's the guy, Weinstein. Go get him. But like I said earlier, I don't believe in either or. Get both. Get everybody. If you're going to have certain rules, then apply them to everybody. We're going to get Bill Cosby. When are we going to go get Donald Trump? We're going to get Representative Conyers out of Michigan. But when are we going to go get some of the other sitting senators and House of Representatives that have known sexual harassment cases? Settlements have been paid out. Oh, by the way, those settlements paid out by us, our taxpayer money, but they still sitting up there with their jobs. Cool. If you're going to go get people, go get everybody. The movement's called Me Too. I want to get them too. This week, 22 women in the Senate fired off a letter on Wednesday expressing their deep disappointment that the Senate has failed to act on legislation that would update and strengthen options available to victims of sexual harassment in congressional workplaces. They wrote in a letter that everyone deserves to work in an environment free of harassment and discrimination. They directed their letter towards Mitch McConnell, who is the majority leader in the Senate and a Republican. And they also addressed it to Chuck Schumer, who is the top Democrat in the Senate. The letter was created by Democratic Senators Amy Klobuchar, and I always butcher her name. Apologies to Ms. Amy. Kirsten Gillibrand and Patty Murray were the authors of this letter. It was signed by every female senator. We can't get much bipartisanship in Washington on many things, but 17 Democrats and 5 Republican women make up the 22. That's saying, yo, we need to remix these sexual harassment procedures and rules. It ain't working. They want to rewrite the Congressional Accountability Act that went into effect in 1995. Well, things have supposedly changed since 1995. But that 1995 law requires that a victim of sexual harassment in the congressional workspace must go through a month-long counseling session, forced meditation, a 30-day cool-off period before they can even push further action. And oh, by the way, if there is a settlement, there's non-disclosure agreements, it's kept private, and then the settlement is paid for. Guess who pays for the settlement? Not the senator or House of Representative member who committed the act, but we pay for it. They don't pay for it out of pocket, we pay for it. So not only are potentially women getting assaulted or harassed in the workplace not coming to justice, and then if they are, the person who perpetrated is protected and is kept quiet. They continue to keep their job. And oh, by the way, they didn't have to pay for any of the expenses because they used taxpayer dollars to do it. It's reported by the Washington Post that taxpayers have funded settlements to congressional staffers complaining of sexual harassment, approximately $174,000 to date over the past 5 years, and much, much more than that over the past 20-something years. I mean, my parents, you know, one of the talks was, how do I interact with police? The other talks was to keep my hands to myself. And clearly, while I am supportive of the Me Too movement, and I think it is headed in the right direction, there's some people that we have still left out of this. And there are elected officials. And I can't believe it wasn't bigger news that literally they can't get a bill passed to restructure how they deal with sexual harassment in the workplace. Our workplace! They work for us! Again, if you want to go get Weinstein, if you want to go get Bill Cosby, you want to go get those folks, go get them. But don't tell me you really about it when we're leaving out the man who's currently sitting in the White House and we're leaving out congressmen, senators. They can't, won't even pass a bill. Didn't even make the news. But yeah, they all for Me Too, right? Supposedly. I would say no. But I'm going to keep an eye on it. Because like I said before, two of the biggest underdog groups in this country are kids, because they're at the mercy of us adults. We're always doing the best we can, but at times we, you know, we make it hard on kids. And obviously women is another major underdog group. It's hard out here for women. And it looks like the Senate wants to keep making it even harder for women congressional staffers. So go to the Facebook Live. I believe there's some comments rolling in. I want to make sure I shout folks out who've been coming along for the journey with the technology, letting their fingers do the talking. Shout out to Christine, who answered one of my earlier questions. You know, today's theme is throwbacks and makes me want to holler. And I asked, related to throwbacks, what's one of your favorite sitcoms, past and present? Because unfortunately, there's a sitcom out that's back, a remix, Roseanne, out here romanticizing and normalizing Trump and his supporters. And Christine says her two favorites are The Middle, which I believe must be a present sitcom. And then I remember the one she said was her throwback one that she loved, which Family Matters. Shout out to Steve Urkel and all the folks on Family Matters. And shout out to Christine for sharing. She also says, I agree. The rules should apply to everyone. No more pick and choose and favoritism. I agree, Christine. That's my frustration. We supposedly are at a time where there's a movement where we no longer condone the sexual harassment or assault of women from anybody. But it looks like that's not true, because we still condone it from our congressmen and from our president. It's almost time for the big finish of the show. 2 hours has flown by. Also, I just want to thank the callers. I want to thank folks commenting. Today's one of those days where the topic is, you know, we get personal about the news and culture, but it's a very frustrating and personal topic. Police brutality, equality in the justice system, and obviously the cases of Alton Sterling and of Stephon Clark have touched you, touched me, touched us. And so I'm glad that though we at least have a place to vent and to talk about it and make sure that it gets heard and that we get heard. Because the fight continues, and it's a long one, and it's probably a never-ending one, but we get to keep on keeping on. Special shout out to all the folks out there enjoying Easter Sunday. And some of y'all might still be in church, because, you know, Easter Sunday, the pastor can get long-winded. Folks might still, that 11 o'clock service might still be going on right now. Or somebody singing that solo a little longer than you thought they were going to sing that solo. Shout out to all the churchgoers today. Like I said, I walked out my apartment today, line around the block. Hey, God loved you and so do I. And that reminds me, I got to call my parents when I get out of here and wish them a happy Easter. All right, couple comments on the Facebook Live. I was asking folks what was their favorite sitcom, past and present. And Joey says, Good Times for the past. Shout out to Good Times. And for the present, he says Blackish. So we have that in common. My current one would be Blackish. Good Times was in the running for me. It was honorable mention. I had Cosby's, but Good Times would be in my top five all time for sure. also a couple other comments that I will get to in a second. But as always, I appreciate folks checking in on the Facebook Live. Also, Joey says, the Petey Green of Harlem, USA. I appreciate that. For folks who don't know, Petey Green was a radio host down in the D.C., I believe, area. He was someone who was in jail for a little bit. He got out. He got into this broadcasting thing and would eventually become a big-time broadcaster, also an activist and radio personality. And he's someone that, you know, inspires me. I actually watched a Petey Green movie that has, what's his name? Don Cheadle, I believe, plays Petey Green in the movie. And it's a good film. I recommend it for folks. I watch it oftentimes, not only just as a good movie, but just also as inspiration about the impact one can make from this mic, and then also the impact one can make off the mic in the community. And so shout out to Joey for that comment, and shout out to the late Petey Green, a legend in the community and also a legend in radio. With that, it's time for the big finish to the show. I can't believe the 2 hours have flown by. Today's theme was throwbacks and makes me want to holler. And unfortunately, there's a lot. Alton Sterling, Stephon Clark, makes me want to holler. Last week we had the March for Our Lives. I'm waiting for that Black Lives Matter march in D.C. And then the one where everybody comes out of all races, all ethnicities, all ages. I'm waiting for them to come out in marches across the country to support this cause. Like I said, it's not about either or. Parkland, let's do it. Let's get behind it. I believe in school safety. And in Black Lives Matter, let's do it. Let's get behind it. I believe that Black lives do matter. Let's do both. With that, how to end the show? You know, we talked today about don't believe the hype, play till the end, don't underestimate your opponent. There's a lot of polls out saying that Donald Trump will likely not get a second term. Don't believe the hype. Don't underestimate him as an opponent and play till the end. Get out there and register to vote this spring or summer for the midterms and be ready for 2020. Also, sometimes it's okay to not have an answer. It's okay to not know how to move forward or what the next step is. Sometimes it's just good to be with our emotions, to be with each other, to just vent, let it out. And so today, if that's how you're feeling related to the Stephon Clark murder, the Alton Sterling murder, the challenge of what it is to be an underdog in this society, especially when it comes to the justice system and policing. Today, it's okay if you don't have an answer. It's okay if you're tired. It's okay if you're frustrated. Let it out. And I'm grateful today that you let me let it out and that you did too. And with that, though, we still get to protest. For those in the New York City area, I believe Justice League New York City is having a rally on April 4th in Union Square. And if you want to go out and let your voice be heard and strengthen numbers and stand and be counted, one of the things that will be happening at that rally is, again, a push for and to bring awareness to what's going on with policing in our communities. Also, support your local Black Lives Matter chapter, or support people in your community that you know are working to make things better. And that support can be a hello and a smile. It could be making sure you bring them lunch or dinner if they're out there working. Or you can donate to their organizations. And then also, bigger picture, obviously, you know, register to vote and be ready to put some things in action. It takes it all, right? It can't just be one or the other or this or that. It takes it all. And I'm reminded that when there's a revolution and when change happens, it oftentimes can be a winding road. But it is a road that I want us to continue to go down.
The only revolution that is worth fighting is a humane revolution. And
also one that succeeds.
Pardon me?
Also one that succeeds.
Yes, right, eventually.
I feel that if King George had captured George Washington, he would have had the right to hang him.
according to the law.
Yeah.
But revolution is always, in some ways, contradict some laws. That's why it's called revolution.
Well, revolutionary justice is its own justice, isn't it?
Yes, and of course it always professes to go under some human right or humane consideration. And I think that we can judge revolutions on the basis of how much, in fact, or objectively, people are given a fair, dealt with in a fairer way, and are given more freedom.
And that was Huey Newton, founder of the Black Panther Party, talking about revolution. One is still needed in this country, and it's coming. With that, we've reached the end of the show. Today's episode, Throwbacks, and Makes Me Want to Holler. Thank you to all the underdogs for listening. Appreciate all the callers and the online comments. Also, thank you for those who listen to the podcast. Because of your downloads, the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast is in the top 100 in the society and culture category out of thousands of podcasts on Podomatic. And that's because you've been downloading it on iTunes, on Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, and now even on Spotify. Appreciate you. And if you haven't checked out the podcast, because I know everybody can't make the live show, you can search The Gregory Neesmith Show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Spotify, and catch up on episodes of The Gregory Neesmith Show that I put out every week, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And for those who like to watch, I also have a YouTube channel, so you can go to The Gregory Neesmith Show on YouTube and check that out if you'd like to see the video. And also, before we get out of here, shout out to the team that makes it happen. I don't just show up here and this just stuff magically happens. There's always a team, right? We all have support that helps us do what we do in life. And so my support related to this show is you and your phone calls and your comments, but also to Megan, my producer, who makes sure that we have the audio clips and makes sure we got all the facts right so we can cover and commentate and then get personal about the news and the culture. And shout out to Kayla, who makes me look and sound good when she edits the show and creates the podcast that comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And with that, you know what, how I'm going to end the show. If you've listened to the show before, you can actually hopefully say this along with me. And that is, underdogs, can't nobody, and I mean nobody, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.